Let's begin this Monday edition of CNV with Mike McIntosh as he talks about spiritual gifts and the power of God.
There are a lot of people that look for spiritual power, spiritual gifts, spiritual blessings, spiritual awakening, spiritual revival, but they wouldn't know it if it walked up and looked them in the eyeball because they have never seen it looking into God's face in heaven. If you have no relationship in the sanctuary, you're not going to have any relationship on the earth with spiritual gifts and power. And so one segment of the church is all gift-orientated and noise-orientated. But isn't it interesting that David said, "My soul is silent before the Lord"? So when we go into the throne room, we may go in all exuberant, but boy, as soon as we see him, we fall on our face.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
The writer of Hebrews tells us that at the time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." There's going to come a time when everything that can will be shaken. The Bible says that one day the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Right now, men have been shaken to the very core of their existence, losing their entire wealth overnight. When we put our trust in the things of the world, we find that our lives can be devastated in a moment. But when we place our trust on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, we know that we will never be moved or overcome by the world. God is shaking all the earth is the title of our lesson, so let's join our teacher, Pastor Mike McIntosh, as he continues his study from the book of Psalms.
So David teaches us some interesting lessons here, how these problems seem to push him to his rock, his salvation, to his refuge under the covert of your wings, all these hiding places and all these, okay, I'm weak, and I'll just wait on you, that's what I'm doing. So you can either battle back in the flesh or you can wait quietly on the Lord. I also thought it was interesting, in verse 8, it says, "Trust in him some of the time." This one you need to memorize, so underline it in the person's Bible on your left side. Let's see. So, Garrett and the Grant, you'd get Danielle's Bible, okay? Trust in him. Would you read that? Trust in him at all times. Boy, are there ever times that you don't trust in him? Absolutely. It's just most of the time. And it's simply because we're not thinking about him. So if you can discipline yourself, instead of letting the radio or your CD player be the background noise when you're on the freeway, maybe you memorize a verse one a day in a traffic jam. Or you pray for 25 things and people in a traffic jam. And trusting in him at all times will bless you at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He's a real strength and a place for us to hide. Selah. So he says, think about that. Trust in him at all times, and you people, pour your heart out before him. God's the refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, so nerds and geeks and people that aren't very cool, and men of higher degree are a lie. So we always think more of ourselves than we should, is what he's saying. So if you're up here or down there in the flesh, we're losers. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. So if you took everybody's life and laid them out, no one's life is anything. Vanity is all. That's just all it is. Vanity of vanity. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And this is a dangerous one for those of you that have money. You set your heart on riches, it's going to destroy you. I'd like you to underline that. If riches increase, you know, your house just made $200,000. Don't set your heart on that. If riches increase because you just inherited your grandmother's 1947 Oldsmobile, don't set your heart on that. If riches increase, don't change your lifestyle. Don't change who you are. Just realize that God's given you more that you can serve him with. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God. And boy, during the 60s, did we ever hear power to the people. People have power. No, all power belongs to God. Also, unto you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render us to every man according to his work. Underline that. You are where you are today because you either cut corners or God is rewarding you. And or the third option, of course, is you're lazy, and that's why you are where you are today. So he renders to us at the end of our life. There is a giving of rewards for what we've done. And it's not for the things that we've done in the flesh and in this world. It's for what we've done in his kingdom that we get rewarded for. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, some of you have been there spiritually before. Just you seem so dry. You don't feel like there's anything going on spiritually. And your soul should keep thirsting for God in those times. Because you're going to experience everything that God's Son experienced. And he was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. He was on the cross. He was loving people, helping people in the midst of storms. There was times without food, times without water. All the things that he went through, I think part of the Christian experience could be metaphor and that you will experience it. So you want to thirst for God, even when you feel like you're not worth the dynamite to blow yourself up. You want to still seek God. He still loves you. His thoughts towards you are good thoughts. To see your power and your glory, so as I have seen you in your sanctuary. Now, I like this psalm because in verse 2 and 3, there's a truth here that I'm sure that many of you have experienced spiritually. To see your power and your glory is the first part. So as I have seen you in the sanctuary is the second part. Because your loving kindness is better than life is the third part. My lips will praise you is the fourth part. Saying that because I've seen you in the sanctuary, I will recognize you on the street. There are a lot of people that look for spiritual power, spiritual gifts, spiritual blessings, spiritual awakening, spiritual revival, but they wouldn't know it if it walked up and looked them in the eyeball because they have never seen it looking into God's face in heaven. If you have no relationship in the sanctuary, you're not going to have any relationship on the earth with spiritual gifts and power. And so one segment of the church is all gift-orientated and noise-orientated. But isn't it interesting that David said, my soul is silent before the Lord? So when we go into the throne room, we may go in all exuberant, but boy, as soon as we see him, we fall on our face. Because we're right there with him, and when we start talking, our problems become nothing, and we just shut up, and then he begins to just be God. And since he's God, he doesn't need to say anything. We just realize, he's so big, why am I even wasting his time? And then we can say, by the way, if you could just help me with this one problem. But it gets in perspective. But if you're not a person of prayer, you're not beholding his face. He said, behold, I'd lead you with my eye. How can he lead you with your eye if you're not looking him in the face? So this is a great psalm for revival, spiritual awakening. If you're not having it in your own heart, in your personal devotion and walk with Jesus and in his word, you're not going to have it in the church or out of the church because you don't know what it is. But when you're in his presence alone, you know how to let that flow through you when you're away from his presence in the sanctuary. Spiritual awakening revival must first work in the king's heart, is what David's saying. Then he sees it on the street. And when we have relationship with God, we see him greater than our lives. And that's what he says. I love that. He says, your loving kindness is greater or better than life. Better than life. Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me. I like this one. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, as if people were plotting against him again or talking behind his back or doing investigative reports. Who cares? God's in charge of your life. If God before you, who in the world can be against you is what the Bible says. You know, God knows all things, and only God can protect me and my family and protect you and your family and your friends. Only God can protect us and shield us from all that the devil would want to do to us, to destroy us. And this is the relationship that he has with God. Hide me from the secret counsel who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. And that seems to be the weapon of choice in most assassins, is ruining a person's reputation, spreading rumors or lies, speaking evil about them, slandering them. In the Christian version of that's amazing, isn't it? You're sitting at Denny's with your grand slam, and somebody says something about somebody in the church or some Christian that you know, and they say, what do you think? and you don't say anything because you're so spiritual, but you roll your eyes. You let them know that you know something, but you don't want them to know what you know, and you're not going to say anything. But you've made enough body language to let them know that you've just slandered them. We have no right doing that to anybody. Don't think evil of people. You've never walked in their shoes, you know. Got to just trust the Lord. It's His responsibility. And we reap what we sow. If we're bad-mouthing people, better believe it's coming back our way and people are going to bad-mouth us. So David has a great handle on this and realizes they shoot their words, their weapons are like arrows. They speak behind me. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, verse 6. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. God knows all things, and He's the one that's going to protect us. Psalm 65. Praise waits for you, O God, in Zion, and unto you shall the vow be performed. O you that hears prayer, unto you shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you shall purge them away. Now that's a great promise. He already knows salvation in Jesus. You can see that. Look at verse 4. Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even of the holy temple. To be invited into the presence of the king is an honor. You know, nobody just walks into the Oval Office. You have to have an invitation and be escorted into the Oval Office of the White House. You know, to be invited is what David is saying. Blessed is the man whom you choose. Have you ever thought of this? God chose you to come to His house. That's cool. Well, the devil first chose you to come to His house. He was having hot dogs, I think. But God said, well, I'd like him to come to my house. And so the devil said, well, no, I'm bringing him to my house. I've got control of him. God said, well, let me send my son down to invite him. And his son comes down, and some of you look up and say, why are you up on that cross? Because my father wants you to come to heaven to his house. And so I'll die in your place instead of going to hell. And so you chose to go to the Father's house. You've got an invitation from the king to go to his house. That's a verse you can think a long time on, so circle that. Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts. I think of my mom tonight, that she's dwelling with Sandy's mom and dad in the courts of heaven. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house. By terrible things and righteousness will you answer us, O God of our salvation, who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth, which by his strength sets fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stills the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at your tokens. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. You visit the earth and you water it. You greatly enrich it with the river of God, which is full of water. You prepare them corn when thou hast so provided it. You water the ridges thereon abundantly. You set the furrows thereof. You made it soft with showers. You blessed the springing thereof. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. You know what this tells me? It tells me we take a lot for granted. God did everything for the earth and the inhabitants of the earth to provide. Not just the beauty, but all the food, be it vegetation or the animals that we could eat. He did it all for you. Don't take your life for granted. Don't take it for granted. God has blessed you. I remember I went over to University Hospital one afternoon to visit a 21-year-old girl who tried to commit suicide. And she lived in Chula Vista. And she stuck her head in an oven, turned on the gas, and it blew up. Didn't kill her, but did burn her face completely off. And on the bed, on the wall next to the bed, when I stand there and she was all bandaged and heavily sedated, was her picture. And the nurse said, her best friend put this here to always remember when she comes to visit her, that's who she's talking to behind that. And she was beautiful. She was a gorgeous 21-year-old woman. But inside, she felt so horrible. She's still alive today. But think what she must have been going through. If only God could have spoken to her heart. We just have such fragile lives. We take too much for granted. Be grateful for what God has given you. And be thankful. He put the furrows in the ground so the water would run down the mountains on the island of Kauai and begin to flood the plains. He put the Rocky Mountains right where they are in the United States, so the winds would blow at the right time and seed would be scattered all over the plains. He's an amazing God. Don't take him for granted. Now, I like Psalm 66. A little longer, they start stretching out here, but I want to highlight a couple things. Because I want you to note this in verse, first of all, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, sing forth the honor of his name, saying to God, how awesome are you in your works. Through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit themselves. Come and see the works, verse 5, of God. Come and see. And that's what you and I should be telling people. Come and see what God can do. He's awesome in his doing toward the children of men. Look at this. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. What's he talking about? The parting of the Red Sea. What does that tell you? David read Moses. When you get people say, oh, the Bible's been translated so many times by man, it's not true. You've got an authentic translation right here in Psalm 66 of David telling you that he read the book of Exodus. How important is the Word of God? It's extremely important in your life. Come and see. He rules by his power forever. Take note that David's always telling of God's mercy and greatness in life. You caused men to ride over our heads, verse 12. We went through the fire and through water, but you brought us to a wealthy place. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I'll pay you my vows. With my lips have uttered, my mouth has spoken. When I was in trouble, I will offer burnt offerings. I cried unto him with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not listen to me. So if you're living in sin, God doesn't listen to you. How often in counseling we hear of Christian, quote unquote, Christian men and women that are having sex together or sleeping together or living together. God's not listening to them. You can't say you're a Christian and live like the devil. There is a purity and a holiness that comes with making that commitment. And David is talking about his lips and his voice and his tongue giving vows to God. The holiness of the Christian man and woman is extremely important. I'll offer unto you burnt sacrifices. But truly, verse 9, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer and his mercy from me. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us. That's a good one. Cause us. Cause his face to shine on us. Selah. That your way may be known upon the earth, your saving health among all the nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. And he's not doing that now, but his day is coming for 1,000 years. There will be no united nations. God will be here. The Lord will be here. Jesus will return to Mount Zion. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. There it is, let their strength be broken. Let them also that hate him flee before him. A smoke is driven away, so drive them away as wax melts before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Look at verse 5 and 6. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. What a promise to each of us about God's love. He looks after the widows. To the lonely or solitary person, he brings them out. To the person that's bound up in addictions and chained, he breaks those chains and he sets them free. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Well, look what he says here in verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Is that cool? Even the God of our salvation, Selah. Think about that, is what Selah means. Would you read it out loud together? Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Is that not cool? So he loads us up daily. Did you get a daily load this morning and just walk around all day trying to figure out the blessings, or did you get bummed out all day? Every morning when you wake up, it's like the manna. Just enough to keep you going. But he loads you up daily benefits of walking with God, being his son or his daughter. Now think of this. Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, give us this day our daily bread. He starts a day at a time. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own problems. Just focus on today. Take the blessings of God today and let him take care of tomorrow. Because he's the God of tomorrow. yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're only the people a day and a memory of yesterday. So don't try to be something you're not. Look into the future, that's great. But let him take care of that. You get to enjoy the benefits he's loading you up with on a daily basis. Blessed be the Lord God who daily loads us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. God truly is to be blessed by us. Now look at Psalm 116, if you would, before we go home. This thought is carried over, verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed toward me? Well, I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. So now we're going to sing, and you can bless God with the vows and the promises. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in God's sight. Now, when we lose people we love, it's not precious really in our sights. It's painful, but in some cases we say, oh, they're so much better off. Well, duh. Everybody's much better off that goes to heaven. But stop and think of this. When you die here on earth and leave your body, in God's eyes it's precious. Otherwise, more than a value to it that you can't pay for it, is what that word precious means. Because he gets to be with you for eternity from that moment on, once you leave. The only way he gets to be with us is by his spirit, talking to our spirits. But our flesh is so strong, so arrogant, so proud, so in control, that he only gets pieces of our day, or maybe our week, or maybe our month, or maybe our year. He doesn't get all of us because we're living for ourselves most of the time. And he doesn't want us to do that. What shall I render? Now let's say it out loud, and you guys come and lead us in worship. But then as you're worshiping, start rendering some things. Would you read out loud and make it your question to everybody else in the room? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Psalm 69. And we'll end with this psalm. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dry, my eyes fail while I wait for my God. There are the people that hate me without a cause, are more than the hair of my head. O God, you know my foolishness, my sins are not hid from you. Let not them that wait upon you, O Lord, be ashamed. For my sake, let not those that seek you be confounded. For my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. Now look at verse 28. Let them, the people of iniquity, be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Yep, there's a book of remembrance in Malachi. God writes down the names of the people who call often one to another on the things of the Lord. There's a book of life. The book of Revelation says, whosever name is found written in the book of life inherits eternal life, but whoever's not inheriting eternal life is not in the book of life. There's a book of the covenant that the book of Exodus speaks about. There is the book of our good deeds that, behold, the Revelation says all the books were opened and every man was judged according to the works that he had done on earth. Now, if you have given your heart to Jesus and your name has been written in the book of life, all of your dead works have been erased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. You see, God wants you to have your name in who's who in heaven. You want your name in his book. So let's stand and let's worship him and pay our vows to him and just thank him that he loads us with benefits daily, that he blesses us daily, that he gives us promises and health daily, that he feeds us daily, that he's prepared a place everlasting for us, and he's calling us daily to fellowship with him. Father, may you enter into our praise and our thanksgiving right now. May you be blessed and walk through us right now as we sing and pay our vows unto you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
That's Mike McIntosh concluding our studies today from the Book of Psalms. A day is coming when the current world systems, governments, and rulers will be completely overturned and a new government and kingdom will be established, and its leaders and ruler will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that will be the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Be sure to join us again tomorrow as Mike continues his series in the Psalms. If you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMacintosh.com and look under Know God. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us Tuesday for more from Psalms with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.